For anyone who's ever ridden in cars with children, games are the gift to any driver. Games are a gift. At this time of year, I am reminded of the first time that Elizabeth, our oldest, saw yites. She looked around and saw Christmas lights, that is, yites. And every time we would pass a house decorated, she would call out, yites. There were yites with golden trees, and there were yites that were red and green in different shapes. There were yites on lampposts and yites on Christmas wreaths. Everywhere in this season, we would play the game of looking out for Christmas yites. And there must be something instinctive about yites, because a few years later, Felicity started looking for Christmas yites, and this year Peter is also looking for Christmas yites. And I've heard some of you tell me the stories about your own children looking for yites. We need to point out where we see them. I wonder if it's not because we too need to be reminded of God's presence. It was in the Gospel of John that taught us, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. Christmas lights remind us that God is not yet done with the world. Evil will not have the last word. You and I, even when it feels like it, will not just fall into a heap of exhaustion and fear forever. There is light, and it is coming. I find myself thinking, I understand why we decorate our homes with strings and strings and strings of light. We need to be reminded that we are not alone, that we have not been abandoned, and there, even when we don't feel like it, even when we can't figure it out, God is with us. God, who sent Jesus Emmanuel in the form of a baby to save and to redeem us. So light up the whole house. Make it bright as day to remember that Christ is with us. Knowing and living and remembering is the work of Advent. This Advent, we've turned to the carols in the Gospel of Luke and modern carols as launching pads for this work. In the Gospel, we've heard the carols of the angel Gabriel. We've heard Mary and Elizabeth. Today, Vernon read for us Zechariah. The once silent Zechariah sings out at the birth of his son, John the Baptist, praising God for what God has already done and leaning on the promise that God is not done yet, that there is more that God will do in the future. After months and months and months of silence, Zechariah chooses his first words carefully. He needs to remind himself the character and the commitment of God. So to remind himself, he calls on the traditions of old, words that he learned from the priests in the tradition of his father and of his father's father. We can imagine that Zechariah hoped against hope to pass that tradition on to his child in that day, a son. As days went by and years piled up, he began to give up on the hope of passing on the tradition, as he and Elizabeth had no children. He gave up the dream of singing the old song and praying together at the bed before bedtime. He'd given up the dream of a child whom he could love and whom he could shape, who he could teach and take care of. It was in that dark place that God met Zechariah through the angel Gabriel. It was good news, incredible news, that was shared. It was there, in that dark place, that Zechariah began to understand the God he had served for decades was with him, and in a new way. It was when Zechariah felt most vulnerable that God was with him. So through these carols from Mary and Zechariah, Elizabeth, and our modern hymns, we are reminded that God doesn't wait until our Christmas lists are all checked off. God doesn't wait until we have it all figured out. God doesn't wait until we are the perfect image on a Christmas card. Instead, God empties God's self of love in the person of a baby to come here and to come now, to share love with the vulnerable and to be vulnerable himself. But that's not just in the carols in the Gospel of Luke. It's the same in our modern carols as well. Unlike the others we've looked at so far in this series, this hymn, O Come, All Ye Faithful, has no one clear author. There are traditions that it might go all the way back to the 13th century St. Bonaventure, but scholars believe it was the collaboration of a group of monks in the 1700s who came up with the words to O Come, All Ye Faithful. Now, they're really not completely sure. They say it was either in France or Germany or England or Portugal. Somewhere across the pond this occurred. And it was after the first couple verses were written that authors were inspired to write the last verses that we sang together. What becomes clear is that worshipers inspire other worshipers. We do the same thing. We invite one another to praise God. The invitation to come, all ye faithful, to Bethlehem puts us alongside the shepherds who rush to see the child. And in a long procession of 2,000 years of the faithful journeying to Bethlehem. You see, we need, and so did they, one another to remind us of the glory of God, of the gift of incarnation. The classic hymn sung for centuries is truly a collaborative work across borders and generations. We need that too, across divisions and limitations. We need to remind one another of God's presence as an incredible gift, without which the future would be quite grim. Hope would flicker and we would not know redemption. God's presence, Emmanuel, God with us, is the gift of this Christmas. I think this is what St. Francis of Assisi knew when he developed the Nativity to reflect the context where he lived, 14th century Italy. And today, it's sometimes in your Nativities, 14th century Italy, but sometimes it's modern 21st century. Not because we think Mary was actually drinking Starbucks. Not because we think that once you birth the baby, you have to take a selfie, but because we can imagine ourselves in the story. This is what the Germans knew when they decorated evergreens in their home. Decorations remind us of the great truths of our faith, their visual, incarnational presence through Jesus. So we deck our halls. And we sing our songs because we need those reminders. We have forgotten that God will always be with us. We've forgotten that we are not alone. We've forgotten that God's timetable for figuring out all the world problems that keep us up at night is not our timetable. But God might call us to take part in that as well. We too need to be reminded as images of Aleppo come across our screen, to be reminded as Advent days are filled with news of death and violence, painful words and atmospheres that are far from the image of the kingdom of God that we are waiting for. We, like many, might feel vulnerable this Christmas. Maybe it's those we see on the television far away. Maybe it's some right next door. Maybe it's some who would struggle with the children's message conversation of needs and wants, whose Christmas lists don't include hamsters and electric scooters, but clean water and shelter. We need to look to the nativities, the Christmas trees, and yes, the yites, and be reminded that we have a voice to proclaim God's way of peace and justice. So this week, this busy week before Christmas, I invite you to play the game of yites as you drive around. Look for the Christmas lights that are around, the neighbors and those you drive by, and then look for those who shine the light of Christ, a reminder that God, through Jesus, is our light in the darkness, and the darkness shall never overcome it. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.